Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Lots to get to today. Drew Holden is here with the latest on Congress versus Anthony Fauci. Joe Biden prepares his big election season border action. I'm all a tingle. We're going to start by doing the conviction of Donald Trump. I was at the airport when all this went down. I was off for a couple days, and I was fascinated to see how people would react to it. Because as the verdict came down and 34 counts were guilty, I think if I was in like LaGuardia, you would have heard an audible cheer. I was wondering if you might get maybe some cheers, some anger. I'm in Dallas, maybe a more conservative-ish area. I was wondering what the reaction would be. And you know what I found? I walked around it was an endless delay. Back to my flight eventually got canceled. But I walked around and around and around and around just doing like spy activity, snooping over people's shoulders to see what they were doing on their phones, because of course everyone's on their phones. And the result was I couldn't find one other person other than myself following the coverage of this trial and verdict. Not one. Every single person that I saw, again, it's anecdotal, but every person around me was doing something else. Nobody was interested in this. I don't know how that plays out as we get to November, but I thought it was interesting. I was kind of thinking that people would at least be interested in the result. It was not an OJ situation where everyone was watching to see what happens. Trump was convicted on all counts, and he becomes America's first felon president, is the way the New York Times puts it, with about 65 people on the byline. And I thought that was an interesting thing, because that headline in itself, do we have that headline again? Trump convicted on all counts to become America's first felon president. It conveys two possible things, that headline. One, which is of course the intent, is that Trump is worse than every other president we've ever had. That is one way you can read that headline. Another way you can read that headline is that never before in the history of this great country, over 200 years, has any political party attempted to do this to their opponent. That's the other way of handling this. Yeah, he's the first felon president, but you're telling me there's never been another president in our history that's had problems with their business records? Like, I really sincerely doubt that. We've seen candidates do all sorts of things that were questionable, things that could have been pushed to the point of imprisoning. I do remember when the left would go crazy when Donald Trump would suggest such a thing with Hillary Clinton. Lock her up, lock her up. We know the same thing with Joe Biden and his documents. That just came down. But they didn't press that to its fullest extent. Probably sanely, right? Because we don't want to have this situation where our political situation is based on whether the party in power feels like going after every single technicality of the other side. Well, we're now in that era. Get ready for it, because it's coming from every side from now on. It was fascinating to watch the reaction to this. Mainly the reaction from the left, who, of course, praised the fact that 34 counts came back guilty, including, by the way, 11 of the accounts were, or 11 counts were for Michael Cohen submitting an invoice. How is that Donald Trump's crime that Michael Cohen submitted an invoice? But we'll leave that aside. They were all thrilled about this. I saw one big viral post from some guy who, is an attorney, and he's like, people are saying this is rigged. It's impossible for it to be rigged. That's not the way our system works in America. You got 12 jurors, and then the jury of your peers, and this is, you use evidence to get convictions, and you jury of your peers. Everyone was super duper enthusiastic about the legal system, which is shocking coming from the left, because they've disagreed every single time. Every single time we have an incident where, let's say, a police officer gets cleared for the shooting of a person of color who is charging at them with a weapon, that police officer gets off. It's called a justified kill. And there's riots out in the streets, and everyone's saying how the systemic racism in the system is such a problem. You know, we've been hearing so much about systemic racism for years and years and years and years and years. And now all those same people got on television last week and told you how wonderful the justice system is. Where did that start? Who are these people? I'm sure that will continue if Hunter Biden gets convicted. I'm sure they'll all be on television telling you how wonderful the justice system is. I'm sure they were, you remember these people from their last appearances after Roe versus Wade was overturned, and they went nuts praising the justice system from beginning to end because they just care so much about American institutions. I mean, who would possibly believe this? We've been told for how long that our justice system is just a system where rich white people are able to get attorneys to get themselves off from every single crime. And yet here we are. We now care so very much about the justice system and all the wonderful things it brings to us. Bull crap. Who could possibly believe these people? The better way to do it is take it on a case-by-case basis. Now, I happen to be the type of person who thinks that long-term, legally speaking, this will probably get turned around, and they will overturn this verdict, and the legal system will eventually get this right. Of course, the legal system doesn't always look at the political system and care about the outcomes there, and that is the issue, of course, for Donald Trump. But we will see how this gets into. We'll get into some of the polling here in a second of how this looks. And I kind of look at this situation. I was out, obviously, when this happened. Haven't had a chance really to comment on it other than the radio show this morning a little bit. But, like, people like to throw the word rigged around a lot. And I think that's it can be a problem of a word because it can give you a big range, right? It can be that, like, maybe the rules were set up against you, all the way to people, and let's say in an election, were taking votes for you and lighting them on fire. I mean, the entire range of possibilities is so large, it makes the term generally useless. But I kind of prefer the Katie Porter definition of rigged. She lost, by the way, in an election, and she said the election was rigged against her. Now, of course, you know, afterwards she came back and said it's not rigged because she realized they were losing a Donald Trump talking point because of it. But what she was saying is, you know, look, a lot of people did all these things to come in and change the outcome. That's what happened with this trial. This was not a trial where, as far as we know, there were jurors all inserted there that were all liberals and were going to say from beginning to end that he was going to be convicted. I do think some of them were that, probably. They probably were liberals, acted a little bit more nonpartisan when they were getting selected, and knew the whole time that they were going to do this. That I do believe. But some of them might not have been that. Some of them might have been people who may have been liberals but were open to the case as they heard it. But the rules were set up against Donald Trump ever getting to a fair trial. You know, the trial itself was a rigging, right? You have a situation where this was a misdemeanor that was beyond the statute of limitations. That means this is over, right? This is over. They went after every little technicality to try to get him to convert this past the statute of limitations and into a felony by charging it in conjunction with another felony. Now, that in and of itself is freaking crazy and does not happen very often. But OK, you're going to go down that road. Well, what's the felony it's tied to? We're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you now. We're not going to tell you during the trial. We're going to tell you after the closing statements have been given. So there's no opportunity for the defense to actually defend their case against this supposed other felony, which, by the way, was not actually charged by anyone who had the authority to charge it. Kind of a problem. This is how you, quote unquote, rig a trial. Then you get into a situation where after all of this goes down, they tell the jurors that not only do you not have to convict him on one of these other felonies, you don't even have to know which one it is. Let me give you a few options. And if you all disagree on which one it is, well, that's okay too, as long as it's something. As long as it's like me calling into work and saying, well, I can't come into work. I've got the flu or cancer or leprosy. Pick one. Which one do you believe? Do you believe any of them? Well, if you believe any of them, then I'm okay. I'm out of work today. That's crazy. It's been crazy since the beginning of this. And that's the sort of thing that went on here. Look, you can say he got convicted. That's what they wanted. The whole point here was to get the words Donald Trump convicted felon in the lexicon. That's what they wanted. And, you know, at some point, Trump very well might win this election. He might wind up, someone else in the legal system might wind up overturning, maybe even the Supreme Court overturns this verdict. Will they like the legal system then? Of course not. This is a specific action to get a specific result. It has to do with the election. It has nothing to do with his business records that happened after the election was over. And we should point out, the elections shan't ever be challenged, folks. Went in here with a underlying part of their case that Donald Trump stole the 2016 election. Now, we know they said that publicly a million times, and that got memory hold long ago, but they had to come back to it here to say he was stealing the election by not letting you know that he slept with Stormy Daniels. And these records were designed to cover that up, even though they happened after the election was over. You can follow the logic on that maybe later on. Now, of course, Biden has nothing else to talk about, so he's going to jump in on this one. He calls Trump a convicted felon as he sharpens his attacks on the campaign trail. And what we're probably going to see here, and I don't know what the truth is going to be, whether he's going to have to go to jail, whether they're going to try to throw him in jail. I kind of think they're going to give him jail time for this. But I also, I don't know, maybe this is, again, having too much faith in this. I mean, they don't deserve any faith, the judge and the system in this particular area. But you think, in at least normally what would happen in these situations is even if they got some jail time toward Donald Trump, he would not serve that time until after the appeal. The appeal would happen after the election. So generally speaking, this might be the end of this. I mean, it might be the end of this. You know, the left will say basically anything they can and anything they need to at a given moment. Oh, we love the justice system today to get what they want. But really, like, I am a skeptic that 5 months from now, everything we're going to be talking about is Donald Trump's business records case as it comes to the situation with Stormy Daniels. And if you look back and you think about where Joe Biden was, this is a guy who just last week went to go visit Halle Biden, the main witness in the case against his son. And we were supposed to believe that had nothing to do with a trial that's coming up right now, but instead it had to do with an early visit to memorialize the ninth anniversary, that big ninth anniversary, everyone always talks about it, the ninth anniversary of his son Beau's passing with the woman whose actions after he passed was to start hooking up with his brother. That's what we're supposed to believe. That's what you're supposed to believe. How could anyone believe this nonsense? It's really, really ridiculous. I guess at this point, politics is boiling down to who's better at picking up technicalities to put the other person in prison. That's our system, apparently. Now, look, you could say, well, no, it's not our system. It's just what Joe Biden did. Yes, that's true. Yes, Joe Biden and his friends and his allies did this in this one case, and we shouldn't necessarily project it to the rest of the country. But honestly, do you think, really? You think there's not going to be Republican prosecutors, Republican officials in all these states, wherever a prominent Democrat lives? They're going to go after every prominent Democrat around them. And it's hard to blame them. It's hard to blame them. You can't just sit here and be victimized constantly. That can't be your answer to these things. You have to do something. I don't like this sort of retribution type of stuff where people just keep going back and forth at each other. I think it weakens our country long term. But I mean, it can't just be unchallenged where your guys keep going to prison over and over and over again until you have none left. We understand the idea of democracy from the left is a ballot with one name and one checkbox, but I don't think we could just allow that to happen, can we? I got to believe that this stuff is coming, and I don't want to hear about it if it happens to you on the left. I don't want to hear about it. Unless you're out there standing up right now and saying this is nonsense, I don't want to hear your complaints when it happens to you. So let's look at the polls. What do the first polls show after Trump's conviction? This is fascinating because, look, I'm not some big Trump cheerleader. I don't really care about him, honestly. Like, he's a candidate. He's going to have better policies than Joe Biden. That's the extent of I don't have any, like, irrational loyalty, everlasting love for Donald Trump. Whatever. If he gets to be president again and he has good policies, wonderful. That's the extent of me caring about him outside of the fact that I think as an individual, I care about him because his rights are being violated in this particular case. That is what I believe. But this is what I'm saying. Like I was talking to a friend of mine today who he voted for Trump in 2016. Or no, he did not vote for him in 2016, did vote for him in 2020. And, you know, kind of regretted the vote. Didn't like love the vote in 2020, but was just, you know what, the left is too crazy. I got to do something. Not a Trump guy. Would probably go third party in a normal circumstance. And has been telling me in the last year or so that, look, I am not going to vote for Donald Trump this time again. I'm sick of him. I don't want to talk about him anymore. All right. Well, OK. Today, he told me he thinks he is going to vote for him now because of this. Now, there are multiple facets in winning an election. It's about percentages, which we'll go through in a second, but it's also about enthusiasm. And if you're getting people like my friend out to vote for Donald Trump, it's a good sign for Donald Trump. They raised a ton of money. That's a good sign for Donald Trump. We'll see what that means. Here's the some polls. There's a bunch of them out. But does Donald Trump's conviction make you more or less likely to vote for him? As you might expect, it's pretty close. Some less likely, 24% less likely, 19% more likely, 67%. Or 57% or 67%, no difference. Republicans, of course, about only 11% say less likely, 34% say more likely. Democrats, of course, 38% say less likely, 3% say more likely. That's, of course, what you expect. When it comes to independents, it's slightly negative for Trump. 26% say they're less likely to vote for him. 16% say they were more likely. Some other polling. Reuters says Biden 41 to Trump 39. Compared to 40-40, seriously, so a slight advantage for Trump there. Morning Consult says Biden 45, Trump 44. It was 44-42 Trump, so a three-point swing there. I think I saw five or six polls total, and what I saw was about two polls that went slightly towards Biden, one that went slightly towards Trump, and the other ones were even. Looking just as a broad picture here, it looks like it's the initial polling is showing a very slight benefit for Joe Biden. If you want a summary of that, that's basically what it looks like right now. Will that hold for 5 months? I'm pretty skeptical of that. We will see. How Donald Trump and Joe Biden polls look 5 months before the election. This is an average, according to poll tracker Vote Hub. Biden is now slightly ahead of Trump by 0.2%, 46.3 to 46.1. This marks a change from last week when, according to election forecasters, 270 to win, Trump was leading the national polls on average by just under 2 points, 45.8 to 44. Of course, those are two different averages. Hard to know exactly what that means. But the bottom line is, it was a close election before this. It's still a close election. Maybe Biden has had a little bit of a bump out of that. Let's see if he can turn it into anything. Trump appeal to remove Willis from Georgia election subversion case is set for October, which pushes the trial past Election Day. I think this is interesting because this is the last domino to fall. We're basically at the point where this is what we saw on Thursday is essentially the last part of the Trump legal saga before the election, with one exception, that exception being the sentencing. We will see, maybe will he go to prison? Will he get community service? I mean, it would be funny for him to community service. Like he's working the median with a lawnmower of a highway, just kind of like zzz, in an orange suit. And I don't know. I don't know how that works. But in theory, the sentencing will be another burst of this. It's right before the convention. But I think it gets swallowed up pretty much after that. And this election is not really fought on whether Donald Trump is a felon or not. Joe Biden will try to make it about that because he has nothing else. So, I mean, what would you do? What would you talk about? Would you talk about your economy? Would you talk about how well Ukraine is going? Oh, well, that Israel-Palestine situation, that's a wonderful, I had a really good hand in that one. What are you going to talk about? Oh, the border's going really well. We'll get into that in a little bit. Afghanistan, that pullout went well. Oh, wow, inflation's going really well. What are you going to talk about if you're Joe Biden? Of course you're going to talk about Donald Trump being a convicted felon. You got nothing else going on. Now, Trump wants the Supreme Court to toss out his conviction. It's hard to say that would actually happen. It's unlikely that it would just go there and get tossed out. But we will see. This will probably be a factor in the election. Do I think it's going to be a massive factor? Probably not. It's going to be the central point of argument outside of abortion, perhaps, for the left. So in that way, it will remain in the public conversation. You'll see it very much in political ads as we go forward. And will it sway some people that are sort of low information voters? It might. I mean, I know this is one of the reasons you don't want to get convicted, right? And it's not that Donald Trump could have done anything about this. Look, he could have done something about the initial incidents. There's no question about that. But doing something about the way he's being prosecuted here, I don't think there's much he could do. I don't think this was a winnable case for him, really, no matter how he approached it. At the very least, what Donald Trump will do is fundraise and get a lot of money. And, you know, he made $70 million in 36 hours. In the days leading up to today, I think it was $200 million he's raised since this incident. Is $200 million enough to downplay the negatives of what this potential conviction cost? It might be. And we might just have a stalemate, and we have to find this on other factors. The thing that we should all remember, though, is as individuals, we have a right as a essentially a juror in this case. We have a right to go to the polls and say, hey, I saw what Donald Trump did. I might not have liked X, Y, and Z, but I might vote for him. And we have a right to say, you know what? I thought Donald Trump did a good job with the economy, but I saw X, Y, and Z, and now I don't want to vote for him. We have that right. We are the ultimate jury. We're supposed to be that jury. That's what the democracy elements of our republic guarantee us. Yes, the left has tried to take that away. But at the end of the day, we're the ones making that decision, and we'll do so in November. I want to tell you why it's important for you to have a Jace case. Nobody who looks at our economy for more than, you know, a minute or two thinks that it's getting better. I got some incredible stats on this. You know, if you were to take the house that you have now and buy the equivalent house right across the street from yourself, your mortgage payment would double. That is where we are in the economy. Consumer sentiment is its lowest level in the past year and a half, and honestly, who can blame us? So we've seen what your overrun healthcare system looks like when the economy is booming. Imagine if something bad happened, made it worse right now. I mean, gosh, where would that go? The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections, provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. And all you have to do is fill out a simple form online, and you'll have it in case you need it. There are add-on options as well, like EpiPens and ivermectin. So check it out. Jace Medical encourages you to take your family's health into your own hands. And that's honestly the biggest thing here. Do you have control of your own life? These are basic things that, you know, Americans always used to have. And when you have these supply chain issues, you can't get these antibiotics anymore. This has been happening across the country. Why not have them on stock for emergencies, for travel, for whatever you need? Jace.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at JaceMedical.com. Jace.com. The code is STU, JASE.com.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Joined once again by Drew Holden. He's a commentary writer and the voice behind the Holden Court Substack. Be sure to check that out and check out his newest write-up. Remember when Trump airstrike was going to start World War III? I'll get into that in a little bit. You can find all of Drew's work on Holden Court at drewholden.substack.com. Make sure to go subscribe. Drew, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Stu, pleasure's mine. Appreciate having me back on, sir.
I appreciate it. We just came out of talking about the reaction to the verdict with Donald Trump, 34 guilty verdicts. And I don't know where to, I would love to get your take on this. I mean, the thing that hit me, especially from the way that you look at the world, always trying to hold kind of people accountable for the stuff they've said in the past.
Yeah.
The fact that there's this strange new respect for our legal system, you can't question verdicts anymore. I mean, that's just beyond the fault. I mean, the fact that they're even trying this is crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Stu. You know, you'd think it would resonate with an audience of people who have spent a lot of time, and I think for a lot of good reasons, pointing out, hey, you know, just because someone has been tried for something or found guilty of something, it doesn't mean that there's this kind of bulletproof moral case underlying it. And to go from that to what I think can rightly be described as glee around the prosecution of the former president, it should seem discordant, I think, to the sorts of people who are running with it. And for some reason, it all just checks out. There's, I think people talk a lot about a two-tier justice system, and I think we're seeing that not just in terms of outcomes, but in the way a lot of people think about it.
Yeah, it's been fascinating because, I mean, we've been told for so long that, you know, evil, rich, white people get in front of courts and, there's systemic racism involved, and they always get off, and the whole system's messed up.
until last Thursday when it was incredibly pure and you weren't allowed to question it. I mean, it's just laughable how they switch their opinions on this stuff. And this also relates to what we saw this week with Anthony Fauci, who was up testifying in front of Congress. Look, you say what you want about Fauci. You know, like, I get that some people love him. A lot of people hate him. More and more seem to dislike him these days. But when you're talking about his approach during this era, it was not one of open scientific conversation. It was one about do what I say. I am capital S science. You know, you close these things, get yourself vaccinated, do all these things. And like now he's trying to present himself as a guy who's just kind of giving suggestions and I like can't believe what all the hubbub is about.
Yeah, I think one of his quotes that really stuck with me was that he didn't limit the conversations that were taking place, either about the origins of COVID or about what people need to do. He's just this advisor who's sitting back, you know, saying from a distance, oh, no, you should, maybe you ought to do this, maybe you should consider this thing. That, Stu, maybe you experienced it that way, but I don't think anyone else did. I certainly don't think Dr. Fauci saw himself as doing that thing, right? And, you know, if you go back, as I am wont to do, and look at the headlines from the way that the media talked about the things that Fauci was saying at the time, they were not suggestions or even recommendations. They were dictates, right? Like these are the sorts of things that controlled how folks lived their lives. They controlled how states could operate, and they controlled how everyday people could attempt to seek some level of normalcy. And so the idea that somehow he is apart from these conversations and didn't weigh in on them forcefully at all, I think is just preposterous.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a great phrase. He didn't limit the conversations. I mean, look, first of all, you have no power to limit people's conversations, but they tried to limit those conversations by taking people off of social media who were trying to have those conversations, among other things. I know you've done reporting on the media's reaction to the COVID lab leak theory. I mean, you've gone back and really spotlighted a bunch of media organizations who were going crazy, basically trying to stop this at the very beginning, saying it was fully debunked, right, Joe?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the NPR headline that always sticks with me is scientists debunk, right? Like that debunk language. And again, when you peel that back a little and you start to talk about, well, who are the scientists? Who are the people saying it? If you go through the headlines, as I do, right, if Fauci wants to talk about limiting the conversation, I've got a couple threads for him, because if anyone had a role in limiting that conversation, it was him. He was calling it a conspiracy theory. He was saying it was preposterous. I mean, I'm sure folks remember, apart from the origin theory, but talking more about the research that went into it and some of this gain of function research, he said that Rand Paul didn't know what he was talking about, right? He very explicitly said time and time again, when it came to the origins of the coronavirus, that what was in fact true was not what a whole bunch of people have now come to believe is true. And he said very explicitly time and again that not only are these two kind of poles in a conversation or a discussion, but there's one that is science, as you mentioned, with a capital S, and there's one that is bunk and conspiracy theory that he could reject as the arbiter of science.
Yeah, and the media went far to make sure that you knew what the right opinion was, right? What you knew what the right path was. And they've done this really over and over and over again. I know your new project here over at Substack, which is great, is holding court. And you have a new piece, Remember When the Trump Airstrike Was Going to Start World War III. This goes back to when Trump is president and Soleimani, who's, you know, a sworn enemy of the United States, has said all sort of terrible things, has been responsible for all sorts of horrifying situations throughout.
Hundreds of American service members' deaths.
Yeah. Kind of a big deal. Someone we was very much on our radar. But as soon as Trump took action against him, all of a sudden, the media changed their tune a bit.
That's right. All of a sudden, and you know, I think, Stu, to kind of frame this one up, one of the things that we saw throughout the Trump years was that people who were opposed to Trump, rather than be displayed by the media, warts and all, as the person that they were glamorized and glorified, and all of those kind of problems and issues that we might have with people seemed to diminish and meld away when it came to the media's reporting. And so you saw that with people like Michael Avenatti, right? Anyone who would take the bait on Trump became something less than bad at a minimum. And I think that the Soleimani example, as someone who had killed U.S. service members, was kind of the apotheosis of all of this. You had this person who was evil, whose core interest as the leader of a global terrorist ring was to kill innocents and to kill Americans. And instead, I mean, the Associated Press said that he became an icon, right? They said he became an icon for targeting Americans. And so you see, even in the depths of moral depravity, even in the worst people, if that person is set against Trump, the media can find nice things to say about them. And I think the Soleimani example is a really jarring one.
Yeah, and you point out in the piece that it's not just praise for Soleimani. It's really like direct Iranian propaganda that they're implementing into their reporting. I mean, that's not supposed to happen.
That's right. Yeah, no, I think one of the things that really shook me, you know, as someone who keeps the receipts, I don't usually, I think, see something in past reporting and I'm just struck by it. Mm. But in this case, I was. There's an ABC News piece where they gave, you know, the usual kind of weird, almost homage to Soleimani. And then they got into a description of the crowds, right? And the Iranian propaganda at the time was that millions and millions of people have come out. They're beating their chests. They're so upset. They're devastated that they've lost this key leader. And ABC News then pivots to, we talked to these experts who, you know, just kind of mentioned that Iranians could be killed or at least jailed for not taking part in these things, right? It's kind of like North Korea. They have these parades that are completely invented by the state. And the next paragraph after that, ABC News says, but the energy at the parades was palpable. Palpable. You have hostages at these parades, and ABC News made the editorial decision to call those parades having a palpable energy. I had to stop writing the piece. I had to take like a 3-hour break from writing because, Stu, I just sat there and I truly couldn't believe it.
It's really legitimately incredible, and it's also fascinating to see the difference in the reaction when it comes to, you know, someone like Soleimani, who, again, is a sworn enemy of the United States, killed hundreds of Americans, wants to kill millions more if he can get his way. When he's taken out in a you know, strike against a terrorist and a terrorist regime, they find a way to talk positively about them. But when, you know, an American talk show host dies of an illness, suddenly they can't find anything positive to say about the guy. You went back and kind of compared these cases.
I did. You know, I think one of the things that if I was coming at this as an alien and I had no idea what humans were, or the media was, or America was, and I just looked at this, I'd say, well, maybe these people just write nice things about people who have passed. Right? I think once upon a time in obituaries, you know, particularly among people who are in public life, there was kind of this reflexive, oh, well, you don't want to speak ill of the dead kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I wanted to disabuse folks of the idea that maybe they were just doing this with Soleimani by going back to the coverage of when Rush Limbaugh had passed, right? Someone who was a titan in conservative media, really has changed the course of conservative media, maybe more than anyone. Mm-hmm. And the media, rather than talk about that, it was a very explicit pivot, even in headlines, to talking about him being controversial. Some called him racist. Some said that he died as he lived, dividing America. Was one of the headlines. And I thought about this and I was like, man, that's like I don't think that class should be something that you take into a lot of account when you're writing a headline, but you would think that there would be at least a little bit of temerity around a subject like this. And if not for a terrorist, then maybe, or if for a terrorist, then necessarily for the political opponents of the media. But I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, unfortunately so. If you've seen Drew Holden's stuff in the past, you've seen his Twitter threads, getting all the receipts, you need to go get his Substack now, because this is where all this research is going. And if you want to go back and look at what the media was doing, what people were saying about these things, so we don't just forget about it, you got to subscribe to Holden Court. You can check it out at drewholden.substack.com. Drew, thanks so much for all of your work on this, and I appreciate you coming back on the program.
It's my pleasure. Stu, thank you so much for having me.
Well, Well, there are those who lead and there are those who follow. And when it's time for you to buy or sell a home, especially in this market, the type of person you need is the former, not the latter. A number of years ago, Glenn Beck started a company with, you know, he didn't want the follower types. He wanted the leader types. And he decided to start realestateagentsitrust.com. When he did so, he was able to kind of get a situation, a system set up. For people to sort through real estate agents. So you're not just depending on like who just got a gig or who's doing the most advertising or whatever other reason you'd stumble upon a real estate agent, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. Real Estate Agents I Trust is a way to go and sort through this for performance, right? Like people, who's the best person in your area? They can hook you up with the best agent in your area, no matter where you live. realestateagentsitrust.com is the place to go. The name kind of says it all, and this is a free service to you, by the way. So there's no risk here. Check it out, realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
Well, now that we found the Democrats' newfound respect for our criminal justice system, the prosecutor in the Hunter Biden case says no one is above the law. Oh, it's the same thing they were saying with Donald Trump. This is going to be fun. Opening statements begin in the Hunter gun trial. I don't think this one's going to last nearly as long as the Trump trial, though. I mean, this one doesn't seem like there's a lot really that's disagreed on. I mean, he did all these things. There's not a lot to go on that. We will see what it means, but it should only be a couple of weeks. We'll see where that goes. Joe Biden, of course, is also, and he's got that going on. And some people have noted maybe the timing of this is interesting as the Hunter Biden trial starts. But Joe Biden has signed an executive order shutting down the southern border. Now, this, of course, is fascinating because he kept saying he couldn't do this for a year. He's been saying he couldn't do this on his own. He needed Congress. And now, of course, he's just doing it anyway, which is typical of the Biden administration. What's not typical is it has to do with the border. And it would, in theory, help the situation at some level. These numbers are actually lower than the bipartisan border bill they tried to pass a while ago. If the average number of daily encounters tops 2,500 between official ports of entry, again, like there's all sorts of weird language like that. Between official ports of entry is an interesting term there. You also get the border will only reopen once that number falls to 1,500. This comes under sections 212F. Of the Immigration and Nationality Act. This is something that basically gives a really broad authority for the president to be able to do what he wants when it comes to immigration. Of course, this has existed the entire time, and he could have done this earlier. Also, we're talking about a situation where about 900,000 people are allowed to enter the border between designated ports every year. So it's not like this is like a hardcore border bill. It's just, I guess, slightly better than the just completely unrestrained craziness we have right now. And this is obviously a play to try to appease moderates who think that what's going on down there is crazy. We got to do something on the border. He's going to try to claim that he's a border hawk. And again, I ask the question, how could anyone believe this? If you are a person who has followed politics at all, if you followed Joe Biden at all since he got into the Senate in 1972, you might have noticed he's not a border hawk. But apparently we're now supposed to believe he just got to control that border. Those darn Republicans are the ones in the way. They just want everyone to come across the border. Huh? You were just saying it was racist to have any restrictions like 6 months ago. And now all of a sudden you're putting on executive orders to restrict the flow. How does anyone even keep track of the lies anymore? It's impossible to watch. Biden also is now blurting out crap about Israel that is hurting them yet again. Biden says there is every reason to believe Netanyahu is prolonging the war for political gain. Now, he's kind of like sort of backing off on that later, but the bottom line is he's basically said everything about Israel. If you say all options when it comes to Israel, that they're good and they're bad and everything in between, eventually you're going to have to be right. So one of these days he's going to say something that's actually true. Most of the time it's just been nonsense. And you better hope this one's not true. Bill Maher says Biden is going to effing lose. He says, I would vote for Biden's head in a jar of blue liquid over Donald Trump, but that doesn't mean I'm in. First of all, I think it's a moot point at this point. He's going to effing lose, he told Kara Swisher. Swisher disagreed and said that people don't want chaos again. Because right now what we're seeing is the opposite of chaos. This has been this is what you think is good? Okay, that was a pitch he gave in 2020. People have now seen 4 years of it. No one thinks that this isn't chaos. It's chaos times 10, and it's only going to get worse as long as this guy's in the Oval Office. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, over 5 million members. It's a great way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports. We've got the NBA Finals starting this week. The Dallas Mavs are in it. Boston Celtics, going to be a great matchup. Can't wait to watch some of that. And Prize Picks is the easiest way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike with other apps, with Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. You don't have to compete against other people. You just go against the numbers. You can test your skills on Prize Picks like I do this basketball season, and you can get in. And the simplest way to get in on the action is with Prize Picks. You get just pick two or more players, and they give you a number, like 25 points. You say, is it going to be more or less? That's it. You just submit your lineup. You're done. You can win up to 100 times your cash. It's a lot of fun, and it's available in more than 30 states across the country. So you can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. And when the finals are over, the action doesn't stop. Women's basketball is just getting started. Get some Caitlin Clark action in. It's a lot of fun. Download the app today and use the code STU for a first deposit. Match up to $100. Get a free $100. Why not? The code is STU with Prize Picks. Get the Prize Picks app. Get a deposit match up to $100 with a code STU. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. We are issuing a pre-cancellation alert for Rebel Wilson. She says that sexuality-based casting is nonsense. Straight actors can play gay characters and vice versa. And I will warn you that I had to read a TMZ story to understand this and get sentences like this. The funny woman reflected on edgy jokes she's told in the past, adding that she thinks she's gotten away with it because she is gay, something it appears she kind of agrees with because she mentions actors playing only characters who align with their own sexuality, something she blasts. None of that was English. I don't know how that got on a website, but I do assume the thing she just said is something she kind of agrees with. But anyway, look out, Rebel Wilson. Your career probably about to crumble because you're not allowed to say things like that. Bad, bad, bad. Also, Sky coach, I guess this is a women's NBA, WNBA, Sky coach Teresa Witherspoon says, Chetty Carter's foul on Caitlin Clark is not appropriate. I bring this up. I mentioned Caitlin Clark earlier. I bring this up just because, like, what the hell is it? This is nuts. Like, here's a woman who has brought attention to the sport that literally no one ever cared about. And all they can do is try to beat her up on the court and cheer on the fouls. I take the gift you got. The fact that this other person who's good at the sport has made some people care about your stupid sport. And the fact that she's brought this attention to you. I don't know. Take the W. Embrace her. You should be thrilled. Instead, they all hate her because they're taking attention. I don't know. As Jill said on the radio show earlier, maybe she's a little too straight and white. I don't know what the issue is. Whatever the issue is, get over it because she's basically your meal ticket. Well, you might not know it because of the mainstream media, but the trustworthiness of Anthony Fauci has been up for debate for a long time. And I think, you look at the media's campaign to defend his character, there's a lot of holes in it, a lot of suspicious stuff going on behind the scenes. We know that they lied about COVID. We know that they lied about some of these statistics. We know that, Fauci is tied into it all. He's the guy promoting all this stuff. That's why we teamed up with Free the People to release The Cover-Up. It's a docuseries available now on Blaze TV. Our government failed us. They didn't press Fauci hard enough during his hearing this past week. Blaze TV and Free the People aren't going to fail you, though. We're going to make sure we go through all of this on The Cover-Up, a docuseries that dives deep into the COVID mafia and their agenda. Go to FauciCoverUp.com, FauciCoverUp.com/stu. There you can use the code FAUCILIED. You'll get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV. That's a special discount. FauciCoverUp.com/stu. Go there, check it out. I will say, this is an important effort to make sure that people are held accountable on this. Let's see if we can get Matt Kibbe on the show tomorrow, because I'd love to talk to him about this documentary. It's available, FauciCoverUp.com/stew. I also want to tell you, you can subscribe to Blaze TV there as well. We got all sorts of stuff going on. The State of the Race podcast is available for you on the podcast feed. We should have a new episode, I believe, this week. We'll get that to you. And of course, check it out, StuDoesMerch.com. Joe Biden, elderly man with a poor memory, mugs, t-shirts available now for election season.